When your eyesight is at stake, it pays to travel to one of the world's leading eye surgeons. Dr. Johnny Gayton is an author, speaker, Christian leader, and a renowned surgical eye expert. Whether it's cataracts, PRK, LASIK, or implanted lenses, when only the best is needed, see Dr. Johnny Gayton at EyesightAssociates.com.
This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. My guest on the show today personifies what it looks like to build the kingdom. And, you know, I just want to welcome to the show today, with me today, Bishop Tim Groves. Welcome to the Man Up Show, Tim.
Thank you, sir. It's a joy and a pleasure to be with you.
Well, and it's just really an honor. It's just an honor to have you on the show. You know, we had met recently through another connection, through another contact, actually through one of my Man Camp alumni that connected us together. And as I learned more about what you are doing, you and your wife are doing as kingdom builders, you know, I'm like, we got to get this story out there. And so let's just talk for a minute. Let's go back to, let's just start with where are you born and raised? I'm curious, sure. And I know our listeners will be like, where'd you grow up? And tell me about that.
Well, I was born and raised in the York, Pennsylvania area. My dad was a welder for Harley Davidson for 35 years and grew up there in that area, raised in the church my whole life. Got involved with the church even as a young kid. Our parents were very involved in church work, served in leadership, and just had that great foundation instilled in me. I kind of ran from the call of God that was on my life. I knew it was there, but I felt like, you know, I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough, you know, there's too many mountains that stand in my way. But God had to kind of have a moment, a Damascus Road experience with me to kind of just say, look, I don't always call the qualified, but I will always qualify those whom I call. And so it was a say yes kind of a thing. And I was like, okay, I'll say yes. And I started my journey of getting trained for ministry. I went to a small independent Bible college in Charleston, Maine, and got my degree in ministerial studies there. Met my wife at the college. I chased her for 5 years, so she caught me. And then we got married in August of 1997 to my wife, Bethany. And we've been married, this August will be 26 years. We have four kids, three girls. And in those three girls, a set of twins. And then our son, Micah, he's the youngest. He just turned 20. And we have two grandchildren. I have a little granddaughter that's a little over a year old and a grandson that's almost 6 months old.
Well, that's amazing. Let me ask you this, you know, as I'm listening to your story, as we are listening to your story, and I'm certainly there's some that can relate, you know, when you say, you know, I ran from the call of God. I'm just reminded of Jonah, who was given some instructions and ran from his instructions as well. That didn't pan out too well for him at first, you know, as he faced a storm and then spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, the belly of a fish, before he finally submitted to the call and what he was, sure, what God had asked him to do. So how young were you when you sensed the direction God wanted you to go in? How young were you?
Well, I even as a small child, people would say to me, "Oh, you're going to be in the ministry one day. You'll be a pastor one day." And I was probably 8, and I was just like, "I don't want to do that." And I mean, I knew it. I just didn't want to do it. I mean, I deliberately failed my SATs so that no college would really accept me. And then God put me in a Bible college that really didn't care what your SATs were. They wanted to, you know, confirm the call of God on your life. So God has a funny sense of humor that even when you try to sabotage your future, he still works it out. But I finally submitted. It was Good Friday, 1990, when I finally said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." And it was just amazing that journey started. I was working as a youth leader, not the youth pastor, but it was a fairly large church in New York, Pennsylvania, close to 800 people. So we had a large youth group, and the youth pastor and his wife had about 12 youth leaders that worked with them. And I knew I was called to ministry, and I just said, "Man, let me work with you." And he invited me to work with the youth, and I'm like, "I'll do it, sure." And I just became a servant. Whatever he needed me to do, go shopping with him, you know, sit up for the lock-in, stay all night for the lock-in, clean up after the lock-in, do it all. When work was done, I'd run to the church and stuff bulletins or fold bulletins or whatever. Any way I could serve, I wanted to learn, you know, what ministry was. And of course, ministry is serving. So if you don't know how to serve, you'll never learn how to lead. And so I did that and then went off to Bible college in the fall of 92, graduated then in 95, got married in 97, and actually went back to that church and became one of their associate pastors. So I was like 25, single, and pastoring, you know, on staff at a fairly large church, which I was quite surprised. But I traveled as an evangelist for a little bit after Bible college because I didn't want to just sit at home and do nothing. So I started traveling, and God opened up doors for me, and then I settled in that pastor position. And we had our first 3 kids while I was at that church. And then we went to the Midwest, and we took a restart church, one of those where it's like, "Hey, the denomination said, you've got a year, turn it around or we shut it down." And so we was there for 5 years and just saw God do some great things. Then we pioneered a church and planted a non-denominational church with no backing of any fellowship or organization. And we did that for about 2 years before we moved back to Pennsylvania to be closer to family. I took about a year and a half off from ministry to just get caught up on finances because the church plant, you know, wasn't a big moneymaker kind of a thing. And I didn't want to be real in debt. So I took a secular job and worked that, but in that year and a half off for 6 months, we filled in the pulpit for a church where the pastor was on a sabbatical. And then I ended up, the Lord was speaking to us to go to a Bible college where I graduated from and go on staff there. And I contacted them and they had no open positions. And they said, "Call in December." So I called in December and they're like, "Yeah, we still have no open positions." And I told my wife, "Well, I heard of the Lord, so let's just pack up and go." And we just packed everything up, had a big indoor yard sale in February in Pennsylvania, and rented a farmhouse in Monroe, Maine, and moved there. And sure enough, by mid to late July, they're calling us saying, "Where are you? We've been trying to get a hold of you. We've got positions for you and your wife. Would you be interested in?" Absolutely. And so we were on staff at Bible College for a year, and I really loved it. I thought I'd stay there longer. But then the Lord said, "Nope, don't be here by next year." And of course, he does that pause where he won't tell you what to do. So you're sitting there going, "Okay, God, how about some direction? Do I have to go back to pastoring? You know, what do I need to do?" And he spoke to us to start Time to Move Ministries. So that's the ministry I have right now, Time to Move Ministries. And we started it on Mother's Day of 2010. And we have had a place to preach every Sunday since, except this past Christmas. Even in the midst of COVID, I still traveled 6 months out of the year, still had a place to preach every Sunday. And God has just been faithful as we've gone coast to coast with the Holy Ghost.
Well, coast to coast, border to border, and I know national and international. Let me back up just for a moment here, because
sure.
I want to, you know, you give a, that's a, I want all of what you just said to be able to sink into our listeners, and you know, as you were sharing with the kind of the timeline of what. So let's go back just for a moment to when you. When you answer the call, so I'm just in my mind, I'm trying to do the math here. So I'm thinking, so the age of 8, you kind of sensed or knew, or people would say, or even in your younger years, that you're going to be in ministry. But yet, you know, at the young age, you're like, "No, I don't want to do that." Why? First of all, why do you think you had that kind of that perspective or that attitude? Like, "Nah, I don't really want to do." Oh, wait, was it because, you know, what you saw with your parents? Why do you think that was?
Well, I was a kid that struggled with being overweight. a lot. And so I was like, these people have to be in front of people. I don't want to be in front of people. You know, I'm afraid people are going to, you know, pick on me, laugh at me, make fun of me. I was kind of shy, didn't like to meet new people at all. I was more of an introvert. But God really, when I finally said, you know, yes to the Lord, I mean, he really started working on me and making me a very, very strong people person.
Gotcha.
But I had to get to a place where I was comfortable to say, okay, God, you know, don't let it be me that they see, let it be you that is seen in me. I kind of ran from it because of that. I didn't want everybody to be looking at me.
I got you. Yeah. And so, yeah. So were you around 20-ish when you finally said yes?
Yeah. Well, yeah, 1990, when I started working with the youth leader, I was 20. And so I really started having opportunities to preach when I was 20. So I can say I haven't been in ministry full time for 33 years, but I have been preaching for 33 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I'm sure you've had lots of experience with that. And now, so if we fast forward, I'm going to fast forward to 2010 when you established the Kingdom Builders, right? But you had another name for it.
Well, we established Time to Move Ministries.
Time to Move Ministries
is the main umbrella of our 501c3, Time to Move Ministries.
Okay.
And then Kingdom Builders came later in 2017.
I got you. Okay. And I know some of the results of your Time to Move Ministries is people, you've witnessed salvation, healing, deliverance, miracles. What stands out for you in all the travels and all the ministry that you've done currently? Is there anything that's been of course, it's all a highlight, but anything that really stands out?
Well, it really amazes me how God has kept us busy. I mean, I have a lot of other evangelist friends, and they're not always, you know, busy. They might preach once or twice a month. And, you know, our ministry has always been, look, we'll just come on a love offering basis. And even if you can't do that, just let us come. We want to be an encouragement. We've always looked to God to be our source of income, not the church. The church may be a resource, but God is our source. And so I think that has helped open up the doors because living in New England is a unique kind of a creature where there's not a lot of big churches up here. Most of the churches are very small, you know, like 25, 30 people. So not every evangelist wants to come to New England. I mean, the old saying is, New England is where pastors come to starve and evangelists come to die. So there's not a lot of evangelistic ministry in the New England area. It's very hardened. In fact, all six New England states combined make the world's third largest unreached people group. So we went to a lot of churches that literally we would drive my whole family. And we traveled as a whole family, of course, until the kids got older. So my wife would sing and play the piano. My oldest daughter would sing with her. My twins would do stuff in sign language. They would run the product tables. So it was like a family ministry. And we would get up on a Sunday morning very early, and we would drive 4 hours to get to a church. And we'd have to cover our breakfast, our lunch, and our dinner for the day. Plus, you know, of course, the gas to get there. And the church would have about 5-6 people. And we'd get a $50 offering. Well, in the natural, you know, that ain't going to cut it, you know, but we just did it because we knew that God was our source and these small churches, they need encouragement as well. There were a couple churches we went into and the pastor's like, we might have to shut the church down or I'm ready to resign and quit. And we were able to come in with such a word of encouragement that it just turned things around for them. So that's part of the gifting on my life. Is to really help come and be an encouragement and a support to the pastor to help set things in order, to take people to a new level. So we do see people get saved, absolutely, and we see people get delivered, and we do deliverance ministry with people. We see people healed. We watch them get up out of a wheelchair. We've seen blind eyes open. We've seen diabetes go. We've seen legs shorter than the other grow out. I mean, it's just been amazing what God's been doing in the ministry, but I think being an encouragement to the smaller churches has been a real blessing.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Would your company, business, or you personally like to partner with me in supporting Koloff for Christ Ministries, The Man Up Show, and Man Up Minutes? Go to koloff.net and click the donate button. You can give monthly, annually, or one time. God bless you for making a difference around the world.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Well, you know, I just had a flashback as you were sharing, just on a completely different note. You mentioned the $50, right? And let me say this. Of course, there's some real relatability. I can really relate to the faith-based ministry aspect because from day one, the Lord made it clear for me as well, you're going to be faith-based and just trust and rely on, as you said so well, I'm your provision. I'm your source, and yeah, everything else is just a resource. Or got a friend who wrote a book called Living on the Third River, and he illustrates how there's lots of ways that the Lord can channel resources to us, right?
Absolutely.
But the $50 you reminded me of, for those who are avid wrestling fans out there, they may or may not know this little bit of history for me. When I first broke into professional wrestling, Tim, whether there were five people in the building, kind of like you said, there are five people at church, right? Whether there were five people in the building or 5,000 people in the building, our guarantee was $50. $50. And out of that, we had to pay for our meals and pay for our gas and everything. Yeah. So you just gave me a flashback to my early wrestling days, right? Because everyone looks at professional wrestling now and, you know, sees the big pay-per-view events and all the, you know, flashy lights and pyrotechnics and all of that. And, you know, guys making, you know, millions of dollars now, not realizing, understanding back in those earlier days when we were paving a way for what the guys do now. We were starving at times, no doubt. But so that's pretty amazing. Of course, you know, God is, as you just alluded to, God is still in the miracle working business, right? And so,
absolutely,
as you see that, and I like Time to Move Ministry. How'd you come up with the name Time to Move Ministries?
Well, I was asking the Lord to, you know, to give me a name. I don't care if other people do it. I just didn't feel comfortable having something like Tim Groves Ministries. You know, I just didn't, again, maybe the flashback of, I don't want people to see me, you know? I was like, Lord, I need another name. And one day the Lord was just speaking to me and he's like, it's time for the church to move. They've been stationary too long. They need to move from being the, move from being the distressed to the blessed, move from being the sad to the glad, move from being the sick to the healed. They just need to move. I think too many times the church camps out, you know, at one spot, you know, one revelation or this revival was great 10 years ago and they're still camping there. But it's time for the church to move. And so I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And I just thought, let's use the number two instead of the word TL to make it a little unique. So that's how we got the name.
Which is very, and again, more relatability with what you're saying there, because I'm on that same page, you know, I like what it said to equip, empower, and evangelize, right? And so,
right,
obviously you have a heart of evangelism, and would you say soul winning?
Yeah, I think if people have understand fivefold ministry, and I don't know if you're familiar with fivefold ministry, but Ephesians 4:11 talks about how Jesus has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I know that there's a lot of people that have a misunderstanding of what fivefold is because people have abused it. But I find that, you know, anytime that God sends a revelation to his people, designed to set them free and get them to a next level. The devil will always build a fence of controversy around it so people will stay away from it rather than embrace the revelation. I mean, he's done this with faith, healing, grace, prosperity, you know, all of it. There's people that will abuse it. So I understand that there's some people that abuse the title apostle or prophet. But I look at it as we've watched ministry work in corporate America for decades, and no one says a word. The CEO of a company is the apostle of the company. He's the one with the strategic plan, the vision, the big picture, knows where we want to go. The marketing directors are the prophet. They're the ones that are making sure that the company is going in the direction of the vision that has been set from the CEO. And then the sales staff, they are the evangelists. They're trying to get you to buy into the product or buy into the service that's being offered. And the pastor is the managers. They're the ones that's managing, say, like a local Burger King or whatever. They're taking care of your needs, making sure your work schedule's right. You get next Tuesday off because you're on vacation. And then you have the training staff or the training personnel, which are the teachers, making sure that everybody's functioning on the same. We're all on the same page. And we're going to do this job properly. Well, that's fivefold ministry. Apostles set the vision. They're strategic planners. That's why the early apostles, they went out and they established churches. They set the vision. They moved the church forward. Prophets are keeping the church, you know, on the tracks of righteousness and holiness, keeping the fire of God stoked, making sure that the church is heading in the direction that the apostle gives. And then the evangelists, bringing people into the kingdom, the pastors caring for the sheep, and then the teachers are discipling the people. So when all of that works together and you have all five, churches will grow because the saints will be equipped to go do the work of the ministry. And you won't have people just come and sit their blessed assurance in a seat, get fed a sermon, and then go home and do nothing. But they'll realize that they don't go to church. They are the church when you have fivefold. So when I look at a fivefold office, the one that God's called me to and has confirmed it by many others is that I'm an apostle. I don't make that a big deal. I don't go around calling myself apostle. If people want to call me apostle, great, no big deal. I just care about the gifting. I don't need a diamond studded lapel pin that says apostle. I don't need anybody walking around with a hanky to wipe the sweat off my forehead. You know, I don't need any of that. I'm just going to function in the office that he's called me to. So when I travel, I call myself an evangelist because a lot of people don't understand what an apostle would do.
Right.
They just know that if I have a church, I'm a pastor. If I don't have a church and I'm traveling, I'm probably an evangelist.
Right.
So I kind of refer myself as an evangelist so they understand my traveling ministry. But really, we come with words and messages from God that help set the saints in order, help encourage vision, strategic, you know, getting some stuff built into the people so that they can get to the next level. And it also encourages the pastor, because many times pastors are like, you know, I want to see my community saved, but I don't know how to do it. It's like I have an understanding of what I want to see done, but I don't know how to do it. And oftentimes we're seeing pastors quit in ministry. Pastors are committing suicide because we're trying to put all the pressure on one guy to do the work when
yep.
Jesus said it's going to take five.
Yep. Right.
So I'm all about the team leadership. I think we need to have team leadership in the church.
I love that. And I am familiar with the fivefold, by the way, because in 1995, it was prophetically spoken over me that fivefold minute that God had called me to the fivefold ministry. And interestingly enough, when I think of those five, you know, the five you just mentioned, like over the years, they've kind of shifted as far as like for me, evangelism is right at the top. Soul winning was, the Lord made it very clear. Call Out for Christ Ministries is a soul winning ministry. Now, I've been fortunate to be able to experience all of those aspects. I was an interim pastor briefly at a village chapel in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and helping them out in a transition. And of course, you know, through our camps and conferences that I'm involved in, you know, I've seen the prophetic operate. And I had a teaching degree, Tim, from college, but I never went into formal education per se.
Right.
But yet I look back, I'm like, man, I've been teaching all my life, whether it's teaching people how to work out or how to eat right or whatever
sure.
else. So, well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to touch on this too and then let people know how they can find out more about Tim Groves and your lovely bride and what you guys do. Kingdom Builders Network. Take just a minute and tell us about Kingdom Builders Network of Time
sure.
to Move Ministries.
So Kingdom Builders Network is what we call the credentialing department of Time to Move Ministries, because where I'm at, there's a lot of independent ministers where they're not part of a denomination. They don't want to be part of a denomination for whatever reason, but they would like to have covering, fellowship, accountability, a partnering together. And so the Lord had prophetically spoken to us four different prophetic words, and we knew it was time. And in April of 2017, we launched Kingdom Builders Network, the credentialing department of Time to Move Ministries. And so we have about 134 ministers in our network in 24 states across America. We also have 16 churches or ministries that we oversee. We're just a loose network fellowship that people can partner together. We keep our belief systems very, very basic, because our main thought is John 17, the prayer of Jesus, that we would be one as he and the Father is one. And I think there's so much division in the church today over denominations or different things. It's like, hey, let's partner together to advance the kingdom. I'm not here to build my empire. I'm here to build. And so we have a network that, you know, are Baptist and Church of the Brethren and all these different groups and stuff, because a lot of these things I think are secondary doctrinal issues, not primary. And so we keep our statements basic, so people can. So if people have a call of God in their life,
yeah,
and they want covering, we offer a ministry license for those, okay, that maybe don't have a lot of Bible college education. And then we have ministry ordination for those who have had Bible college education or a lot of ministry background. And we offer what we call a marketplace ordination for people that are in the business realm and they want to use their business or their finances to help support the kingdom. That way they're able to do weddings and stuff for their employees if asked.
Right.
So those are three levels of credentials.
Okay. And how do people, what are the websites? Where do people go to learn more about Tim and Bethany Groves?
Okay. So they can go to timetomoveit.org, and you use the number 2 instead of the word T-O. So T-I-M-E, the number 2, and the words moveit.org. That's our main Time to Move Ministries website. There is a link to KBN on there. The Kingdom Builders one, if you want to go that one directly, it's timetobuild.com, I-T-S-T-I-M-E, use the number 2 and the word build, itstimetobuild.com. And there's a way for you to connect to get more information, get an application sent to you. And like, we don't require the people to tithe to us or anything like that. We don't make them fill out monthly forms. It's just a real loose network of people working together.
And just provides a covering and some, you know, and some accountability there. And well, I am looking forward to, we're almost out of time, but I just want to say we hadn't really had time to talk about all the conferences and things that you do. But I know I'm looking forward to next year in 2024 being a part of your conference up there in the New England area. And so the Russian nightmare is coming into New England. I'm going to invade New England next year. And
there you go.
And
bring the presence of God with you.
I am going to bring the presence of God, and hopefully we're going to equip and empower some folks up there in New England, and they come for that particular conference I'm going to be a part of in it's the month of May. Is that when I'm coming?
Yeah,
right?
May 17 and May 18. A Friday night and Saturday. It's Friday night at 7, Saturday 10 to 3. There's no registration fee. We just take up a love offering. God always provides, but it's a great time in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, New Hampshire. So I'm looking forward to that in May of 2024. And Tim, just such a privilege to have you really on the Man Up Show today. And next time we'll have you back. Maybe we can get Bethany on with you. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, we can see if we can do that. She drives a special needs school bus. So she's often busy with that. But, yeah, we can try to make something work for sure.
Well, maybe we can find do it at a time when she's not out driving the bus. And that's a great ministry in and of itself. And so Kingdom Builders Network, Time to Move Ministries, Bishop Tim Groves, just a privilege and a pleasure to have you on the phone. And I want to encourage all of you out there, go to those websites and check that out and make sure you learn more about what this man of God is doing. And thank you, Tim, for being part of the show today.
Thanks for allowing me the honor.
And thank all of you out there for tuning in each and every week. You're so faithful in your support. And I want you to go out and have a God-blessed, God-filled day today. Until next time.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today. I, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
If you are enjoying the Man Up Show, would you help us spread the word? Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors to download, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for your pastor? Well, look no further. Bless him with a trip to the Holy Land with yours truly, Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare. I'll be hosting this once-in-a-lifetime trip, December 27, 2023 to January 5, 2024. Your pastor will never be the same.
Go to koloff.net to get registered today.
This is the Truth Network.